title of the message this evening is Voices Are Calling. Voices Are Calling. Now, most of us have ears that work very well. Praise the Lord for that. And we hear many things through the day, through the course of a day. We hear much information. There's many things that are calling out tonight for your attention, each one of you. And we have many responsibilities. And some of those pressing things press in on us pretty much as in our waking hours. But there's other voices that call in that maybe they're not audible. And these voices are reflective of a conflict that's in the world, a conflict between right and wrong and good and evil. And we as humans, you've heard this before, but we as humans are like pawns in a sense. We're these pawns that feel the point of decision, that have to make a decision, that have to respond to these voices. The voices may be of our parents, whether they're living or not, the voices that we think and we remember what we were told and what we were taught. There's voices from the brotherhood. There's voices from our friends and acquaintances. There's voices from our business associates. There's voices from the world. There's voices from the past. There's voices from above. There's voices from the Holy Scriptures as we read. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Just to introduce the conflict and introduce the myriad voices that come into our lives. I thought these verses in Proverbs just seem to really set the tone for what I feel God has laid on my heart this evening. And there's other places in Proverbs, later on in Proverbs, I think it talks also again about wisdom. But chapter 1 is a good summary of the thoughts. And I was looking at the chapter and I was trying to decide which verses to read and which ones to let go. And finally, I decided we're going to read all the verses in Proverbs chapter 1. These are all good verses. I invite the children to open your Bibles as well, to follow along and allow the words of God's book to reach us and touch us. His words can reach us and touch us in ways that no other words can. And God is calling through his word to you tonight. This is a voice we need to hear. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I wanted to say also, just look at the references to hearing or speaking or influence. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill all our houses with spoil. Cast in the lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I have very few comments to make on those verses, but I trust as you followed after, that you understood the what I mean by the voices calling. And wisdom was crying out, but you know, the fools were crying out too. This is a comparison between the wisdom of God, the proverb writer, and the enticement of sinners, between the simple and the wise, between the wisdom and the scorners. Some of the voices that we hear tonight will lead us toward home. And some of the voices that we hear tonight will lead us to destruction. And it's one of those sobering thoughts. What are you listening to? The ancient Greek poet Homer described in his book Odyssey the dangers of the sirens. Some of you may have heard this story. The hero of the story, Odyssey, the captain of a ship, this is a very, very old story. The captain of a ship described these sirens. This is not a siren like a fire siren. As I describe this, I think you understand. Described these sirens as dangerous creatures who lured nearby sailors with their enchanting music and voices to shipwreck on the rocky coasts of their island. This is a fictional story, but this is the captain of the ship, and he wanted to steer his boat safely. But these sirens, these creatures who made beautiful sounds and beautiful music and voices, and it just seemed the sailors wanted to go that way. And he had a great concern. He escaped the danger of their song by stopping the ears of his crew with wax so that they were deaf to the sirens. Odysseus himself wanted to hear their song, but had himself tied to the mast so that he would not be able to steer the ship off course and into danger. And as I thought about that story, and I had to search it up and find it, but it seemed to fit so closely with the voices. And sometimes these are the voices that we hear, the voices that seem so enchanting, but move us aside and move us to areas in our lives where there's destruction. But yet the music, the pull is so strong. To who or what are your ears tuned tonight? Not what you hear, there's a difference. We hear a lot of things, and we cannot keep a sound from being made and we hearing it. That's something that we cannot do. But to who or what are your ears tuned? Who am I choosing to listen to? There are many dangers and shipwrecks waiting us if we are listening to and following the wrong voices. notice the dangers. And we read these verses. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. We hear the voice of sinners calling for the innocent to come and to get involved in this plot, in this whatever it was to steal and to shed blood. But I'm sure they had their way of making it seem so inviting, and it's going to be so much fun, and just come along and have a party, and oh, you're chicken if you can't, if you don't, if you're too scared to do that. But note the shipwrecks and the wreckage, verses 26 and 27. Wisdom says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and destruction cometh as a whirlwind. The ship has been dashed upon the rocks because they got pulled in. They got pulled into this web of evil and deceit, and they became a wreckage. And you know, it's sad, brothers and sisters, but shipwrecks are happening today. There's many shipwrecks, and I'm talking about individuals. And your mind, I'm sure, can go to some. And my burden this evening is, what if I'm a shipwreck waiting to happen? What if there's areas in my life where I'm listening to something, and it's pulling me little by little toward the rocks? Why would people willingly choose to go into the rocks? Well, you say, well, they don't choose, and that's true in a sense, but yet, do they choose? I had to think of a verse in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. These individuals made a choice. They did make a choice, even though they were lured away, and they at one point had faith, and they had a good conscience, but they put it away, and because they lost their faith, they have made shipwreck. Why would people choose to go into the rocks? It's because of delusion. It's because they're deluded. It's because they have a false or mistaken belief or idea about something. Delusion is a scary thought, because someone who is deluded and deceived doesn't realize where they are. They don't realize the direction they're taking. Where am I turning here? Turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. And says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And I believe this is talking about actually during the tribulational period when the Antichrist will be revealed. Verse 8 talks about, then shall that wicked be revealed. I think this will happen later. But I think there's strong delusion happening today too. And God's people need to be careful. The world is getting more and more dangerous. The voices of delusion are calling louder and louder and are sounding sweeter and sweeter. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The next point, what are the sirens saying to us in 2017? You remember those Greek sirens in the story of Odyssey? They were calling. What are the voices that are calling to us tonight? And I don't know what should be shared. I have three major main points here underneath this. What are the sirens calling to us? But one of the sirens that we hear in 2017, and we've been hearing this siren since this time, Christians have been hearing this, and that is the call to join the world and be a good Christian at the same time. To join the world and be a good Christian at the same time. And that sounds so good to our ears, because the cross gets heavy, does it not? Doesn't the cross get heavy sometimes? And it would be so nice if we could continue and carry the cross of Christ and just be not quite so separate from the world and not quite so different and be one with them and enjoy the fun things that they do. I think that is a siren that is calling to us in 2017. Turn to 1 John. First John chapter 2. Lord willing, we want to look at this chapter some more this week, but right now we're going to focus on two verses for this point. 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Then it goes on again into the thought of Antichrist. It's the last time we have heard that the Antichrist shall come. But even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And I believe that's what we're talking about tonight. There's little Antichrists around. I believe that there will be a time when the capital A Antichrist will be revealed, but we're not talking about that so much. But there's a lot of little ones around today. Well, they're actually pretty big. They're bigger than us, but not bigger than Christ, not bigger than his word. Go back to verse 16. I wrote it in my Bible. I don't know. It was a speaker somewhere that maybe it was you, Brother Steve. I don't know. Someone mentioned the lust of the, lust of the flesh is passion. The lust of the eyes is possession. And the lust and the pride of life is position. Passion, possession, and position. I kind of like that. It helps to, it fits together in your mind. But we want to look at the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here. Passion. But I think of things like entertainment. I think of things like music and hobbies. It's areas where, well, let's start with entertainment. I believe we know there's worldly entertainment that is vile and dirty and evil. We know that. But yet there's Christian entertainment, right? And see, that's this siren call that is starting to mix these two things. How do we allow some entertainment if it's Christian? Okay, it's Christian. That's a really dangerous siren, brothers and sisters, and it's really we need to have a clear line and stay away from where the rocks start. Music. And I think of world's music with Christian words. It's a mixing again. Come join the world and be a good Christian at the same time. Why can't we have the world's music if it's Christian words? But again, it's that mixing that pulls us into the shoals and into the rocks. Even a cappella. I've heard a cappella Christian music that was the world's music. It was. It really was. What about our hobbies? Expensive ones that do not serve noble purposes. And I should have maybe listed some suggestions of what I'm talking about, but I guess I'll let your minds wonder about that one. Maybe one like skydiving. The lust of the eyes is relates to our possessions, our vehicles, any accessories we place on them. Again, the mixing of something that is clearly worldly with something that Christians need. And I'm not prepared to go into itemization of which accessories go where. Clothing is something, again, possessions, relating to possessions. How do we, it's like I said one of the other evenings about trying to fly two flags at the same time. I'm a Christian, but yet I want to be, look like you all too. Come join the world and be a good Christian at the same time. The pride of life, position in life. Where are we content to be the quiet in the land? Are we content to be where God, the meek and the lowly? Are we content to be that? Or do we need to have a RV lifestyle? Does our social standing need to be clear to others that we're not at the bottom? We're pretty much middle class America, and maybe the upper crust of that. I'm pretty self-sufficient. What lack I yet? I pretty much everything is in place. Position, pride of life. Love not the world. That's what it says here in verse 15. Love not the world. Why does it say that? It's because we have a tendency to love the world, even if we're Christians and we have washed our robes or our lives into the blood of the Lamb, yet we have a tendency to love the world. And these lusts have a pull. We have a tendency to row our boat right into the harbor of the world, even though the bottom of our boat will be ripped right out, but we won't even notice. We'll be just gliding into the port. We've lost it, but we don't realize it. That's how dangerous these siren calls are. Number two, New Testament life in the Spirit has given me freedom from law and tradition. If only these Mennonites would realize that they're in bondage to tradition, they need to get released from these traditions so they can experience freedom in Christ. And we hear that. And that comes close home to me. I struggle to know sometimes how to relate to all that, because sometimes it almost sounds right. And that's what a siren call is. It sounds so right. It sounds beautiful. It sounds like it makes sense. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 15. I like how that verse states it. What do we do with law and tradition? Isn't that something that should just get passed away? That's something that's not needed. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Well, that word is right there. We're to stand fast and hold the traditions. Now, it's interesting traditions means things delivered over from one to another, then orally delivered. Any precept, doctrine, or law. Now, it's interesting to think about that, and look what it closes with, whether by word or by our epistle. Okay, now the epistle, we know what it is. It's 2 Thessalonians right here. So we understand that. We're good Mennonite Christians, and so we know that when God's word says something, we need to believe it. But there's also, he says first, whether by word. And so there was some oral things that were passed on that we don't have here. So the Apostle Paul is telling the brethren at Thessalonica to stand fast and hold those things which were delivered orally and this epistle. And I think we need to understand that the implication here is that what's to be passed on as tradition is more than what's directly written out. we need to affirm this evening. We need to reaffirm our appreciation for the good traditions that we have. And we need to protect them. We need to guard them and keep them, because they are protecting us from the bondage of the world. The traditions that we have protect us from the bondage of the world. Oh, the irony of those who express freedom from Mennonite traditions indicates so quickly by their appearance that they are now in bondage to the worldly traditions. See, you don't just move away from one set of traditions and then you don't have traditions anymore. No, you simply adopt another set of traditions. I remember when I was young at home, we had a record player. I don't know how many of you know what that is anymore. We had this, played those big black things, big round things. And we had there was a record we had. It was good singing. It was a Mennonite family on the front of it. And this is many, many years ago. But it made an impression on me, because the father and mother were dressed pretty much like we are here tonight. But the children and this record would go, well, when I say record, it automatically puts you back in the 70s and early 80s. But this probably goes back to the late 60s. But the father and mother were dressed very plainly, but the children, you could see that something had happened. And they looked very worldly, for Mennonites especially, but fit right in with society at that time, pretty much. There might have been small things that looked separated, but I remember, I think it was on the back of the album, there was the family members wrote a little blurb about things. And it was one of the daughters that wrote something to the effect of being so thankful for freedom in the Holy Spirit. And I remember just looking at that and looking at that and looking at that. Because she might have thought she had freedom, that she had freedom in the Spirit. But it looked to me like she was in bondage to the world. Now, why do we need these traditions that we have, and these that I've been passed on, and then we feel like we're forced to find an exact scripture reference that says this tradition needs to be kept. But there's traditions that are here that we appreciate because they have worked. And I see the evidence of it. And my burden is that we can continue. What about the law? I mentioned the tradition and law. The law, and if we don't have time to turn to Romans 7, but Romans 7 talks about the flesh wanting to do this, and you know you shouldn't, but you want to do it anyway, and that whole conflict. And then Romans 8 goes right on to the Spirit and living according to the Spirit. Well, the point I'm trying to make here is that those who constantly struggle against the law show that they are still living under it. The point of Christian experience is not to live in Romans 7. It's to live in Romans 8. By living by faith, those who live by faith and live in the Spirit show that they are not under the domination of the law. But that does not mean we remove the law, see? Because the law is there to help us and guide us when we start to lose our fervor of living in the Spirit. It helps to remind us that we need a correction. And through that, we find submission to the brotherhood, and it's a beautiful thing if we change our attitude about it. And another ironic thing about this, about removing the tendency to remove guidelines and to freedom from tradition and guidelines and those kind of things. People who say that still appreciate living in a society where there is laws. we appreciate. We were all able to arrive here safely tonight because of traffic laws and people that had a general respect for them. I didn't see anyone going through a stop sign. I didn't see anyone traveling 85 miles per hour on 52, I believe it was, whatever. And even in home life, we understand that there does need to be structure, but somehow when it comes to brotherhood, we need to remove them. Well, there's a siren call to us tonight. We are only a few steps away from losing everything our Anabaptist forebears stood for and died for when we lose our separation from the world. They stood for a Christian life. They came out and was separate from the Christian society that was all lumped together as one. They realized that it cannot work that way. They needed to come out and be a separate people, and that was what God was calling them. They were separating from a Christian society, just like we need to a society today that calls itself Christian, but it isn't. But so it was then. They called it a Christian society then, but still needed to separate. I'm spending too much time on this point, but I think it is an important one. Number three, big businesses, big busyness, and other things that keep us from Christian service. Big businesses, big busyness, and other things that keep us from Christian service. We mentioned several times this week so far about the darkness in the world. And it is a dark world. But what are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Why is it a struggle at times to find willing hearts and hands? And maybe it's not here at Ridgeview. That's one of the things that about preaching somewhere where you don't know the people so well. And praise the Lord if there's every time that there's a call for help that there's Brother Curvin has to just say, "Well, I have a waiting list here. I'll put you down on the waiting list." Shepherd's Fold needs counselors. That is current. That is true, as far as I know. Disaster areas need workers. Pilgrim Witness needs articles. There's much to do. And I believe that there's a siren call of our businesses and our busy lifestyles and things that keep us from Christian service. Where is the personal burden for these things? Matthew 28, 19 to 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We have a command of Scripture to go out. And one of those ways we do it is Christian service. It's also being involved in outreach programs. I was going to bring something along, and I forgot to do it, but I don't know if your congregation here uses those Pilgrim Ministry business cards. But if you don't, I encourage you to do that. I know of a brother that puts one in every payment to a company, and he sends out a check to pay his bills. And he's a farmer, and he puts one in every... Maybe not everyone, but that's what he tries to do. And I just want to give that. I was going to bring one along to show you if you don't know what it is, but the publication board, the publication office, PMC office has them. How to stop our ears from the dangerous voices that are calling. If you remember the story of Odysseus, he put wax in the sailors' ears so they didn't hear. We need to wake up. We get periods of drowsiness, and that's why we need revival. That's why we're here tonight, to revive us again. I'd like to turn yet to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But continue, well, verse 13, we'll start there. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we looked at that tonight some. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Continue. The thought of continue. Verse 14, such a beautiful word. Continue tonight. I know that the heart throb of Ridgeview Mennonite Church is not to get the bottom ripped out of your boats because you're too close to the rocks. I know that's not your burden. I know that's not your where you want to be. But we need reminders. We need to look at this verse again. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue learning. Continue with your personal Bible study and communion with God. If we don't, if that, brothers and sisters, is lost, then the whole thing is lost. It has to start within our hearts. Verse 15, continue instilling truth in our children. And I'm blessed. I mentioned that before, and I'll say it again. I'm blessed with all the children that are here. I wish I could remember all your names. But God bless you as parents as you raise these dear little ones for him. A man of God, thoroughly furnished into all good works, will not get shipwrecked. Verse 17. There's another voice calling that we did not mention yet tonight. Or maybe I did in passing and I didn't think about it, but it's the voice of the Spirit. Jesus, as Jesus was leaving, he said, I will give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, for whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus also said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The gentle voice of the Spirit is calling tonight. And like we just mentioned, he's a comforter. It's a comforting presence in the life of the Christian to know that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the replacement. Jesus said, I will leave you, but the Spirit will be with you. And we have the Spirit. What a blessing tonight. Because as the Holy Spirit speaks to the Christian, he gives words of comfort. But to the sinner, he gives words of warning. But that's a blessing too, because if it was not for the work of the Spirit in our lives, he would not be calling. We could not realize that we're falling, that we are nearing shipwreck. What is the Spirit speaking to you tonight? What voices are you tuned into? Are you tuned into the voices of the world and the voices of the ungodliness that's in the world? Or are you tuned into the Spirit? Is the Spirit in control in your life? Where are you with God tonight? Are you shipwrecked? Or maybe your boat is just beginning to scrape the rocks because you are drawn off course. Whatever the case may be, heed the voice of the Spirit. We'll sing an invitation song again this evening. If the Lord has been speaking to you and if the Spirit has been calling you and you've not been heeding that voice, tonight is your opportunity to start again, to start anew. Or if you've never given your heart to the Lord, and you've been resisting the call of the Spirit in your own life, please respond while there is time. It doesn't need to be in a public way, but you need to talk to someone. But we give you an opportunity here to stand to your feet until you're recognized.